We're moving on to the second week of Advent. The first week, as you see, the candle's already lit here. The first week, last week, Steve talked about how that candle represents Mary's trust in God. He likes to do non-traditional candles meanings. So Mary's trust in God. Mary had to trust that the promise that God made to her was going to be fulfilled. And that was fulfilled ultimately in Jesus. Okay, for this week, I'm going to do three things. I'm going to tell you the name of the candle. I'm going to read the passage that it goes with. You're going to have to try to figure out and connect the two, and then Maddie will connect it for you. Okay, according to Steve, the name of the candle for this week should be the Been There, Done That candle. Okay, Been There, Done That. Okay, so we're reading Luke 2, verses 6 through 7. And if you were with us this morning at Celebration Sunday, Steve already read this. Verse 6. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Now Maddie's going to explain why that.
I was a little confused when he said her, and then he finished it. I was like, oh, okay. But, yeah, so the Been There, Done That candle, I think also has a very appropriate name of Emmanuel candle, which means God with us. Not only was Christ born in the human likeness, chose to become like us, he endured the things that we do, the good, the bad, and the ugly. In Isaiah 53, it talks about how Christ was scorned, he was rejected, he was a man of sorrows, he was acquainted with our grief. Christ knew the pain that we go through. Christ knew the joy that we go through. And so today we're just reminded that God is with us. God has been there with us. God knows us, not only intimately, individually, but understands what it's like to be a human. And so as we go about the Christmas season, remember that Jesus came, became a human, to become the lowliest. It said that he was born in a manger. And so not only did he become human, he became human in the lowliest of conditions. So, God with us. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the joy of the Christmas season. Lord, I thank you that you are with us, that you know our fears, you know our sorrow, you know our joy. Lord, that you decided to come down to save us, to be born in a manger, and to live a human life for us, God. So I thank you for that. I thank you for the service. I pray that you will open our eyes and our hearts to what you have to say today. In your name I pray. Amen.
One of the hardest things to go through at the holiday season is the loss of a loved one. And there's been so much loss in the last few weeks, and many of you have had recent losses, and you're still mourning. But we're a family, and we mourn and we grieve together. There are some that are part of our family that have losses this week, and we just know that if your heart is grieving too, that this time of year is hard, so just know that if your heart is grieving, if you'll pray for these families, will you in turn pray for those that have also lost? I know you will. So we'll do that together as a church family. But this morning, I'd like for us to go to prayer about something very important, and we need to be reminded of this. You see, it was a Sunday morning 84 years ago, today, on this day, that the United States of America didn't have to enter the war. The war came to them. And the Japanese attacked at Pearl Harbor. And so many sailors, servicemen, lost their lives that day. And many of them, my father called this group the greatest generation for a great reason. And we've lost so many of them, and there's so few of them left to thank. But here's what you can do. There are servicemen in this room, either former or present. There are servicemen that are probably in your family. You'll see them out in the public, and just make sure that with gratitude in your heart and thanksgiving, you thank them for their service, because their service matters. You see, many of us, including myself, never had to raise a finger to secure the freedoms that I enjoy every single day. And the brave men and women that have done that for me and for us, we should be unbelievably thankful. So when you see them, with gratitude, thank them for their service. So today, can we just praise the Lord? What great freedoms we enjoy as citizens of the United States of America. And it didn't come free. It came at great cost. So let us be thankful. But while we're being thankful for those freedoms, let us also then be aware that the greatest freedom that we have is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because 2,000 years ago, the Christ child decided to leave the splendor of heaven and come to this place to bring us true freedom. So let us just be thankful this morning. There's so many reasons that we could praise the Lord today. And I challenge you, you see one of these brave men or ladies with the hats, the service hats, thank them for their service. Because they were willing to die for you. Or they have brothers that did die for you. But ultimately, there's the one that died for all, the Lord Jesus. So you can join my wife and I at this altar, wherever you choose to pray. Just make sure that you remember where you are. You're in the Holy of Holies. You've been invited in. The Lord God wants you to be with him. And you can. What an amazing privilege that is. Let's enter into his presence. Heavenly Father, you are good. Today, Father, we gather in your house to bring you praise and glory because you alone are worthy. Thank you, Father, for all the blessings that we have in our life and in this world. Thank you for this great country of ours. And as we reflect and we remember what this date means in our history, let us be thankful of all the men and women that have served us, sacrificed everything, gave their lives even, or were willing to, so that we could enjoy the freedoms that we have. Father, let us be always thankful. Let us reach a hand out to those that have served us and just make sure that they know that we appreciate them. But at the same time, freedoms here in this great land, it came at great cost, but the ultimate freedom, Father, came the cost of your own Son, the Lord Jesus. So, Father, thank you for the ultimate freedom, for the release from the bondage of sin. So, Father, we praise you today for loving us enough to send us your Son. And thank you, Jesus, for coming to this place, born the way you were born, into the lowliest of circumstances. You have been there and done that for each one of us. And, Father, we know that we can trust in you, that you understand, that you will hear us. Father, I give you these names that I've mentioned. They have just losses, and it's hard this time of year to say goodbye because the season of Thanksgiving or Christmas will always be remembered this way, and it's just hard. So, Father, they're good families, though. So let them gather and let them draw strength, not only from one another, but especially from you. Father, we give this service to you that it would bring you glory. You alone are worthy. As we praise and pray and fellowship and look upon your word, Father, it is just to make all of heaven celebrate with us. We're part of the bride of Christ. We're small but mighty. And this morning, we praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. And it's in his name, the name of Jesus, that we pray. Amen. I want to continue on with this series of sermons called We Have Seen a Great Light. It's based on Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, where Isaiah is prophesying about a great light that would come one day. When Isaiah wrote this, it was 700 years into the future that the great light would come. And the scripture says that a great light has come to help the people that were in darkness. A light has dawned to bring people out of their deep darkness. The light, of course, that we know Isaiah was writing about is the Lord Jesus Christ. And last week, we talked about the gift of this great light and how amazing it is and how important it is. And we used a couple more verses from chapter 9 of the book of Isaiah to discover how amazing this gift is. We talked about how the gift, this great gift, this light that had come to bring the people out of darkness was given to us. Unto you a child is born. Not just all of humanity was given this light. Brooke, you were given this light. It is for you personally, for each one of us. Once we are in deep darkness, we need the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to pull us out of the darkness and into the light. We talked about how that gift is personal. It's for you. We talked about how that gift is all that you would ever need. Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace. Everything that we could possibly need, the gift provided. And we talked about how the gift is a gift that goes on and on and on. For all of eternity, we've been given this gift and how blessed we are. I don't know how often we actually consider the fact that God decided to ingratiate us with this amazing gift. And the gift is perfect and it goes on forever. And this morning, I want us to look a little more closely at the gift itself. Because I want us to have a deep appreciation of how amazing this gift is. I think it's easy for us to just on some level say, yes, Jesus came at Christmas time and he was born in a stable, laid in a manger to a virgin named Mary. And that one day this baby would grow into a man and he would begin to preach in him. One day, he would die on a cross for our sins. And it's easy for us to think of the story just how we know it. And we think, well, that's just rather amazing. But to really look at the gift itself, to take a time to ponder who Jesus really is, or he can be in our lives. Because that makes Christmas means so much more. You see, it's easy to get stuck in just understanding the Christmas story. We read the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2 to the kiddos this morning in the gym, and then Connor and Maddie read some of it again to you. And we're familiar with the story, and it's easy to just get caught up in the story about the baby being born. It's easy for us to get caught up in all the things that we do at Christmas time, in all the parties and the festivities. I mean, we got to put up a tree and adorn it with lights and decorations, right? I mean, we got to do that because that's just what Mama taught us. And so we got to do that. We carry that on and we have traditions. And it's so easy to just caught up in all the trappings of Christmas. But do we really consider how amazing the gift of Christmas really is? This morning, I want us to dive into this idea of the meaning of Christmas. I'm going to ask and answer three questions for you, and you're actually going to have kind of, congratulations, Levi, you're going to get two sermons in one this morning, because we're going to transition from these three questions where I am going to answer the meaning of Christmas with a series of three questions, and then we're going to look at the gift itself by reading some scripture together that describe Jesus so beautifully that the gospel writer John, who knew Jesus. And John described himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved because he felt so loved by Jesus that he writes these words in some of the most poetic and beautiful words found in Scripture, but he describes the gift of Christmas so beautifully. And I want us to unpack that. And then I have a story about my wasted youth to be able to tie that together for you. So first, the three questions. First question is, what is the meaning of Christmas? And I think the first thing that comes to our mind, and it is a valid answer, and it is the answer, is, well, Jesus is the reason for the season. Have you ever seen Elizabeth? You've probably seen, you might even have a sweatshirt that says, Jesus is the reason for the season. You might have something, a decoration in your house that says that. It's a talking point. And oh, by the way, take advantage of every talking point. When you go in to pay for your gas that you just pumped, make sure that you tell people that Jesus is the reason for the season. You never know what that moment of truth might do in somebody's heart and life. That's true, right? Jesus is the reason for the season. We can't say the word Christmas without saying Christ. He is Messiah. He is Lord. He is Savior. He is Redeemer. We can't celebrate Christmas without Jesus. So the meaning of Christmas really is, well, Jesus is the reason for the season. Now, we could stop there, but let's not. We might ask then this question. Why did you have to come? We understand that Jesus came at Christmas ultimately to die on a cross. We understand that, right? Why did he have to come to earth? If you have your bulletin in front of you, you'll notice that the picture that I asked Sherry to print on the bulletin shows an apple with a bite out of it. Let's be interactive this morning, church. What do you think that represents? Say loud. Adam and Eve. Okay. Did they take a bite of this forbidden fruit? What were they really doing? They were defying the Lord God. The only thing he told them not to do, they did. They separated themselves from the intimacy that God had established with them. The reason why Jesus had to come here and dwell among us is because of us. Like it or not, that's just the way it is. We were the ones. And it's easy, I think, to blame Adam or Eve. I think the guys like to blame Eve. I know. They both did it. Here's the thing. We would blame them, but I promise you, if it were you and me in the garden, we would have done the same thing. Raised a defiant, clenched, rebellious fist to heaven and say, I will be my own God. And they stepped out of the intimacy that God had created for them and with them. Why did Jesus have to come and dwell among us? Because of us. Now, that feels bad. And it's okay that it feels bad because it should. Because you understand also that Jesus didn't just come like little Tanner and this cute little baby that would be a cute little baby forevermore. We knew what happened. We know the rest of the story. We know that Jesus would face persecution and a heartache. He would be betrayed. He would be spat upon. The very people that he came to save would scorn him, reject him. We know that he ultimately died on a cross for us. So it's easy for us to think romantically about Jesus coming as a baby, but then when we think, oh my goodness, he died and he suffered on a cross, and that's because of me? Yeah. It's okay to feel bad about that. It hurts. But here's the thing. I think it's important that we kind of dwell on that for a moment. Let that linger. Let that just have a place in your heart. Let it just sit there for a moment. Because it's okay. Because feeling that way causes you to understand and appreciate what Jesus was actually doing for you. He came here because of you. Now, here's the next question. If that feels bad, this is going to feel great. But the other thing, that bad thing, it needs to always be a part of who we are. Because we can't appreciate the good unless we kind of feel this. My sin, my brokenness is the reason why he had to come and why he had to suffer and die. But he did that for me. Now, here's the next question. Not why did he have to come? Here's the next question. Why did he choose to come? You see, that's a completely different question. And this is what I want you to really ponder. For a moment, yes, ponder why he had to come, because that's just the reality of who we are. We're just a mess. Can we just admit it? Humanity is a mess. Do you think when you leave this house and you go out there into the world, you don't think it's a mess? It's broken, and it's filthy, and it's awful, and we're a part of that. This is who we are on our best day. A pile of filthy rags. Feel that. It's okay to feel that. But then don't forget to remember to ask the question, but why did you choose to come? Now, I know the answer, and I'm going to give you the answer, but I don't understand it. I'm going to be honest. Some things are above my, beyond my ability to understand. Here's the reason Jesus chose to come to us at Christmas time. Love. He loves us more than we can possibly imagine. Now look, he had to come because of our brokenness, but he chose to come because of an unbelievable amount of love that he has for us that we can't even understand and I can't put into words for you this morning. Why did he choose to come? Because he loves us. To what extent? I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. I'm not able to understand. You see, because broken humanity, here's how they think. Oh, I will die for a brother because that's my brother. Maybe I will. But to die for everyone in spite of them, or worse yet, the ones that still have that defiant clenched fist raised toward heaven, would I die for them? I don't understand why Jesus would do that. I don't understand why he loves everybody the way he does, but he does. Let that dominate your heart this Christmas season. That Jesus had to come because of you, but he chose to come because he loves you more than you could possibly imagine. You see, I'm pretty sure he would want you to know two things. Your life matters. Your life matters. And you have purpose. That is the meaning of Christmas. Now, we could boil it down simply and say Jesus is the reason for the season. We can say, well, he came ultimately to die and drag a cross through the streets of Jerusalem. We can say all those things, but at the end of the day, really, the meaning of Christmas is because he loves you more than you can imagine because you have value and purpose. He was willing to die for each one of you just for the chance, the hope that one day you would say yes to him. Now, I wanted to say all that to give you kind of a glimpse of how amazing this gift is. But the gospel writer John, the one whom Jesus loved, writes it so beautifully. These are some of the most poetic words I find in Scripture. If you brought your Bibles, you can turn with me to John's Gospel, the first chapter. We're going to start with the first verse. If you'd like to stand or raise your hands, close your eyes, these are the readings of the Word of the Lord. Now, there are seven words that are printed on your bulletin this morning. These seven words, these seven concepts, these seven ways to describe Jesus are found in this passage. And I want to just take time to talk about each one of these for a moment, but here is God's Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. That's John the Baptist. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Let's say amen to this. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise be to God for the reading of his Word. So these words that are found kind of on the left side of the picture should remind us that he had to come because, well, of our defiance. But this is what we get because of our defiance. You see, we didn't get punishment. We didn't. We get are the recipients of this beautiful gift. And can we just unpack this just a little bit? John describes Jesus as the Word. The Word, capital W. Jesus is the authority. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. All matters, all things of authority rest upon him. He is the one that guides us. Isaiah writes that the government shall be on his shoulder. He's been given all authority. And when we read God's word, we are unpacking what Jesus wants to know, what we want to know about him. He wants us to experience him because the words found in his word are supernaturally written so that when we read them, we experience him. He is the word. He is the authority. John describes this gift of light as being the word. That would be enough, but he goes on. He also describes him as eternal, that he was with God in the beginning. There was no beginning. There was no end. There will never be an end, that the Lord Jesus Christ is eternal. Think about that. That gift that has been given to us always existed, and it will never end. That's a good gift, isn't it? John describes Jesus as creator, not just God, but creator God. It's easy for us to read the first chapter of the book of Genesis and think of the creator being the Father, when John clearly says that it is the Son of God that is actually the creator God. Nothing has been made that has not been made through him. That's a great gift. Could you imagine having the power to create just by thinking or waving your arm or blinking or smiling or decreeing in some way? Have you ever created something out of nothing? The gift of Christmas has. Some can't even balance their checkbook. And Jesus just thinks, and billions of stars exist out of nothingness. Jesus is creator. Jesus is life. John describes him as life. Jesus said that he came to give us life abundant, life in the full, not just in existence, but to really experience him here, now, and forevermore. Jesus is the very life that we have. The reason, Elizabeth, you were created. Listen now. The very reason why you have life is to bring glory to him. Jesus is the very life that we have. John describes Jesus as being the light of all mankind. Have you ever been in utter darkness? You can't even see, and I'm talking about complete darkness. You can't even see your hand in front of your face. You have nowhere where to turn. You have no idea how to get out. You are stumbling and bumbling in your darkness. It describes who we are without a God that loves us more than we can imagine. We are lost unless we have the light to bring us out of the darkness. John describes Jesus as that great light. John describes that Jesus became flesh, dwelt among us. The word Emmanuel means God with us. What kind of God decides to leave the palace and come and dwell with the commoners? Who would ever do that? I tell you who. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords would do that, and that's what he did. Just like the Advent candle this morning, he understands everything that we go through because he experienced this life, because he came and he dwelt among us. Emmanuel, God with us. That is a beautiful gift. We don't worship a God that is far removed and can't understand us. He understands us completely. And then, of course, he is Savior. That's why he had to come. And he chose to come because he loves you more than you could possibly imagine. He came to his own people, and many of them rejected him. But to the ones that decided to make him Lord, he gave them the right to be children of God, his own brothers and sisters. What a beautiful gift that you've been given. This is what I want you to understand right now at this time of year. The beauty of this gift. These seven things. John just uses 14 verses to describe these beautiful seven things about Jesus, about this perfect gift that's been given to us. And until we understand who he really is, we won't understand the magnitude of how amazing it is that we celebrate this time of year. So with that, I want to tell you a story. When I was in the sixth grade, I was a great musician. Brother Jim, I was a great musician. I was the trumpet player. Oh yeah, I had my own trumpet and everything. And that lasted for about 3 months. I was awful. And I had to give that up. So my parents had purchased this trumpet for me, and then they realized that that's not for you. So they sold the trumpet. But there was part of the trumpet that was left behind. And my cousin Brett, who was 1 year older than me in school, so he was in the seventh grade, and he was also playing the trumpet way better than I did. And he was in seventh grade, and I decided that I would give Brett this great gift. So I called him on the phone. This is Christmas time. And I called him on the phone, and I said, Brett, I've got a Christmas present for you. And I don't know, I thought, well, it's Christmas time. I mean, I didn't really pick it out for Brett. I just had it, and I thought, well, I'm not just going to throw this away. So I'm just going to offer it up like I am, you know, this great cousin that I thought of Brett. And I went out and got him this amazing gift, and he bought that, hook, line, and sinker. And he thought, oh, my goodness gracious, Steve has got me a gift. And he tells his mom, my Aunt Barbara, that I have bought him a gift. I didn't say the word buy, but I have bought him this gift, and that I want him to come down to my house so I can give it to him. So he tells my Aunt Barbara, and my Aunt Barbara then takes Brett out shopping so that Brett could give me a gift. I didn't expect that to happen. So there, a couple days later, here's Brett at my back door. And so I give him my gift. If you ever played an instrument, a horn that has valves, there's the little thing of oil. It's called valve oil. When we sold the trumpet, we didn't put the valve oil back in the trumpet case. I just had some there. So I thought, Brett needs this valve oil. So that was the great gift. I said, Brett, you play the trumpet. Here's your valve oil. And I thought, boy, I am the greatest cousin ever. I thought, this is a great Christmas for Brett. And then Brett, I remember, says, okay, valve oil. Now, around from back, his back, he gives me a gift. I didn't expect that. It's an actual gift. He had went to the store and he bought a puzzle. And I loved puzzles. Anybody love puzzles? It's a puzzle of, can you believe it or not, Count Dracula. I love that thing. I would put that thing together, and I would take it apart, and I'd put it together and take it apart. But could you imagine how I felt? Like a schmuck, a heel, that I had enticed him by telling him I got him this great Christmas gift, and all I got him was valve oil, and he gives me a beautiful gift for a sixth grade boy, a puzzle of Dracula. It was amazing. I played with that thing forever and ever, but every time I played with it, I felt this twinge of guilt. Now, do you think that Brett, on any level, thinks that our gifts were even? You ever given somebody a gift and it's like, wow, oh my goodness, your gift does not match up with mine, or vice versa? Here's why I want to tell you that story. Brother Jim's going to come, and he's going to close us. But here's what I want you to hear from that story. This, right here, is the gift. Are you seeing this? This is what we gave Jesus. Okay? But he gives us this. They're not even, are they? They're not even close to being even. We gave him defiance and disobedience, and he looks down upon us with unbelievable love. And he opens up the storehouse of who he is, and he gives us all of these things because there's a depth of love that he has for us that I can't begin to imagine. It's not even, but are you thankful? Are you thankful that in spite of the gift that you gave, he didn't give you the same kind of gift back? He gave you himself. The meaning of Christmas is simply this. In spite of this, I gave you this because I love you. Jim? The prophecy was, the people have seen a great light. The people living in deep darkness have seen a great light. 700 years later, that light came. 2,000 years ago, that light came. The gift of heaven was given to us. The answer to our existence was given to us. Now, a gift is only valuable if we appreciate it, and then if we use it. We've been given a great gift. 2 weeks from today, I'm going to describe to you, by illustrating yet another story of Pastor Steve's wasted youth, how important it is for us to use the gift that we've been given and how to do that. Next week, let's fill this space because we're going to have a great time in celebrating the Christmas season. Thank you, Danessa, for making this happen. But 2 weeks from today, just be ready. Oh, the gift matters. The giver matters. The recipient of the gift matters. Now, what do I do with that gift? That matters the most. Church, you are sent.